Hello, kiddies, and welcome back to Grandpa's Tales of Terror. I wanted to comment that I hope the gentleman who wrote A Tale of Two Dates was able to find love eventually. I hope dates like that never happen to you. It sends shivers down my back just thinking about it. Moving on, the next tale is whacked. No pun intended. It's entitled The Pinata Man. Now close your eyes and let your imagination carry you into a world of fear and horror. Ding dong went the doorbell to Mrs. Pamela Livingston's house. She just happened to be in the kitchen filling a bowl with popcorn to take out to her daughter's birthday party. Opening the front door, no one was there. Instead, however, was a pinata. She looked around and saw no one. Before picking it up, she checked the tag that was on the pinata, and indeed her name and address was on it. Bringing it in the house, she placed it on the kitchen table and finished filling the bowl with popcorn. With the bowl in one hand and the pinata in the other, she took them outside. Lucy, her neighbor, asked where she got the pinata. Pamela replied back that it was left on the front step. She added that there must have been a mistake and a duplication was sent, since one pinata had been delivered already for the party. Peter, Pamela's boyfriend, was filling an aluminum pan with hot dogs fresh off the barbecue. He saw his Pamela carrying the pinata, and after dealing with the hot dogs, he walked over to her and asked where she got it from. She repeated her story about it being a duplication. He asked if she would like the newer pinata hung up, since the other one was lying in a broken heap on the ground, just having been whacked open and spilling its candy treasure and toys on the grass. An announcement was made that another pinata was ready, and a cheer rang out from the children at the party. Since the birthday girl already had gone first, someone else was chosen to take the first swing. 10 swings later, one could see the pinata starting to crack. Bobby was next. Picking up the stick, she took her stance, just like she did at baseball, and swung with all her might. The pinata was hit with such force that it was enough to break it open. Candies, toys fell to the grass. All the children were laughing as they picked up everything that was in the pinata. One little boy picked up what looked like a Halloween gummy finger. Putting it in his mouth, he took a bite but then spit it out right away. It did not taste very good. Picking it up, he brought it to his mother. Handing the finger to her, his mother took it and examined it. She then screamed. The finger was real. Detective Lewis McGaffey, with latex gloves on, was examining the contents of the pinata that was on the ground. Eventually, more body parts were found mixed in with the contents. 10 fingers, 10 toes, and 2 ears were collected. Photographs were taken, evidence markers used, crime scene tape put up. Eventually, McAfee made his way to Pamela Livingston and her boyfriend to ask them some questions.
Mrs. Livingston, you had mentioned that the pinata was left on your doorstep.
Yes. The doorbell rang, and when I answered, no one was there except the pinata on the step.
You also mentioned that you thought it was an error and your order for the pinata was duplicated.
Yes, that is correct.
And Peter, you handled the pinata also.
I found it out for the kids.
All right. Well, that's it for now. If we have any further questions, we'll contact you.
The detective handed her 2 business cards.
One card is mine. And the other is for counseling services for anyone here. If any of your guests need to have someone to talk to, the counselors are very good.
Detective McAfee went back to his car and sat thinking, what kind of a nut job would do something like this? Until the fingers, toes, and ears were identified as to who they belonged to, nothing else could be done. He decided to go to the store where Mrs. Livingston purchased the pinata and talk to the staff. After leaving the store, which really didn't amount to much in terms of information, his cell phone rang.
Hello, McCarthy.
Yes, Detective. It's Bertrand from the medical examiner's office. We got the results of who the fingers belonged to.
That didn't take very long.
Well, the person was in the system for a DUI a few years ago. The fingers belonged to, actually all the body parts belonged to, a Michael Livingston.
The detective's ears perked up.
We determined that he was alive when the parts were cut off. The ears were cut off first, then the toes, then the fingers.
Jesus. Could he still be alive?
That we don't know. He won't die from having these being cut off, but there would be a really good chance of infection if nothing was treated. Once infection sets in, it would be a terrible way to go.
Thanks, Bernie.
After hanging up, Detective McCarthy then radioed his dispatch to get an address for Michael. When the address was sent to McCarthy's phone, he looked at it and realized it was the same address as Pamela Livingston. The detective started his car and drove to Pamela Livingston's house. Pamela was in shock. Peter was doing his best to comfort her. After a few minutes, the detective started asking some questions.
I understand that this is very difficult for you, but I do need to ask some questions.
Pamela blew her nose with a tissue and nodded.
When was the last time you saw your ex-husband?
Last week, we had a custody hearing for our daughter. He was trying to obtain full custody for whatever reason. The hearing for him did not go well. The judge ruled against him, citing that his reasons for full custody were impractical, and told him that he should listen to his lawyer.
And that was the last time?
Yes. He called and talked to Bobby, telling her he was going to come on Thursday and pick her up, but he didn't show.
Do you know why?
No. I called him, and I left a voicemail. Has she been found?
McCarthy looked at her, and with empathy in his voice, told her that the police were looking, but nothing has been found yet. Pamela then quietly mumbled that she was going to have to tell Bobby about her dad. McCarthy thought that was a good idea. Just before he left, he asked one more question, if Michael had any enemies. Pamela said none, continuing that he was a good man, but had a bit of a drinking issue. He then asked Peter how he got along with Michael. Peter answered that it was cordial and didn't seem to be any issues. McCarthy left, leaving Mrs. Livingston to deal with her daughter. Getting into his car, he drove home and went to bed. Tomorrow was another day.